Hey guys, welcome to the new campfire session of the Interviews with the Haunting Masters, where we will be sharing those stories that have shaped us into the hunters that we are today. As an extra added bonus, once a month, I will be inviting one of you subscribers on the show to share your stories with us. Please let me know if you like this new addition to the podcast by leaving a comment on Podbean or a review on iTunes. Thank you. Now let's roll into the next episode. Hi, and welcome to the Interviews with the Haunting Masters campfire session. Today we have with us on the phone, on the computer. I keep saying on the phone because I got so used to using the phone, and now that I use the computer all the time. We got with us on Joel Turner, and Joel's been on the show like four times, I think. But just in case you don't know who Joel Turner is and you've been living under a rock, Joel, give us a quick rundown about yourself.
Joel Turner with Iron Mine Hunting. And pleasure to be here, man.
Yeah. So, this is a new thing for us. We added this segment where, once a week we're bringing guys on and listening to stories, but also, trying to learn from those stories a little bit. So the reason why I have you on, is I know you've got a lot of experience out there in the field, and I know you've told me some stories in the past, and I think they got some good teaching points. So if you wouldn't mind, share with me a story that one has a teaching point and had a moment for you where you're like, oh, something clicked or something. You figured something out there, and now it's something that's become part of your hunting repertoire.
One of the most influential elk stories that I have, we're coming up on elk season here, and people are getting educated and they're starting to figure some things out. I'm hoping that they're watching some things on YouTube and they're thinking about their own experiences. I had a hunt in New Mexico. It would have been, 2011, I think, where I was hunting down there with a pal of mine, and I had done the research on, from elk nut, palmetto. I looked at that Sounds by the Elk CD, and there was that section in there that he had the bull calling cow's bugle in there. And it was just a little tiny section in the CD. It wasn't heavily emphasized or anything like that. But I listened very specifically to that CD and that section. And those bulls were not chuckling. No matter what bugle they did, it was short, it was raspy, and it had no chuckles in it. And I've talked a lot about this bull calling cow's bugle, but this was the first aha moment. And we were hunting down in New Mexico and having mixed success with all the old calling things that I had done, and still really hadn't figured out this bull calling cow's bugle. I hadn't ever really tried it specifically. Okay. So I was getting down to toward the last day. We got in on a herd bull. There was bulls all over, but this one particular herd bull, he was the master of the whole place. So we got close to him, and I got to see a little 3-point bull come in on his cows, and he instantly, let out a challenge bugle and ran that little bull off. And that's the first time that I'd really picked up on it. So I said, okay, he is ripe for the pickings, right? And my shooter had just missed a bull that had come past him glunking at 10 yards. It was a whole, the camera, he didn't have the camera angle and all this and that. And I'm like, man, you need to shoot that thing.
So right.
He ends up missing it. I actually call it back in and he missed it like a half an hour before this happened. So I knew, and he was having some trouble knowing when to draw his bow back. So I thought, man, I need to be right with this fella. And, when I call him in, I can't separate from him. And that's a big thing. So we got in, got the wind right, slid in on that bull, and we got to where I thought we were close enough to his cows. And I sat my shooter down right in front of me, and I had the cameraman right over my shoulder. And I asked both of them, I said, "Are you ready?" And you know, the cameraman said, "Yep." And the cameraman had missed that whole episode of that bull coming by glunking because he double punched the record button. So I look at him, I said, "Are you ready?" I said, hit the record button right now. And he gives me the thumbs up, like he's got the red light. I'm like, okay. So I've got my shooter sitting right in front of me, and I said, okay. And this was the time I'm thinking to myself, all right, I'm going to try this, and we're going to see what happens. So that's when I did that bull calling cow's bugle, that real short, screamy bugle. And that bull lets out a hoarse, whinny shriek. I mean, it was just amazing, the scream that came out of this bull. And, you know, me trying to be the cool guy with the call, I bugled back at him. And the second time I bugled back at him, I chuckled. But I think that I had enraged him so much with the first one that it still worked, you know.
Right.
So, you know, he came in. That's the first time I had a bull come in like that, where he's just walking in real slow. It's all on that Instinctive Elk Calling DVD. If anybody has their hands on one of those, they're not actually in production anymore, but, it's all on there. It's really cool footage of this bull coming in. We shoot him at 18 yards and,
wow.
And that's when I first went, okay, that bull came in different than every other bull than I've ever dealt with. And it had the response, and he came in slow, and he came in a very specific way. And that's when I went, okay, this is it. Right. And then, you know, I'm a cop, so I was kind of putting things together when I go to all these bar fights anyways.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, this is it. This is the sound that's talking directly to the ladies. But on that second bugle, I had chuckled, and for no other reason other than habit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where guys got to be careful, because as soon as you chuckle, you're talking to the bull.
Right.
And you are decreasing your odds of actually calling him in. So it was really, I got lucky on that one. But then every other time since, you know, I've 35, that was number one. And now I'm up to 35 herd bulls with that one sound. And now when I watch, you know, you watch all the videos, you watch all the stuff, you know, one from Corey Jacobson just came out called The Linguist.
Yeah.
You watch when those guys are cow calling those bulls in. All those bulls are doing bull calling cow's bugles.
Yep.
They're all doing, in, you know, Corey calls it something different. Jason Phelps calls it something different. Elk Nut calls it something different even now. So it's all when good elk callers get in close to bulls, they talk to the cows. And it's that short, screamy bugle with no chuckles.
Right.
You know, I've come to this principle of, if you're making bull sounds in your calling regiment, you should never be taught, the bull should never be the subject of your calling. So either you're doing bull sounds to his cows, or you're doing bull sounds to your own cows, but you're never talking to him.
Right.
And that's how you really piss him off. You never talk to him. So
is that true even with the like locating bugle type stuff, when
you
just kind of
I mean, you think about bulls, you know, location bugle wise, if you are, you know, when bulls are bugling at night, they're not chuckling very much.
No,
it's this very high frequency bugle, and all they're doing is telling each other where they are, so that they're staying away from each other. They're not trying to call each other in. They're simply keeping track of one another. And that high frequency, no chuckle bugle is the key to actually locating them. They want to tell you where they are, because they don't want you close to them. But if you send out a challenge bugle for a location bugle, why in the world would they tell you where they are with all their cows?
No, right?
You know, so.
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so you know, that was number one on the bull calling cow's bugle, and man, it has just been phenomenal. It is my go-to way to do business now. I just get close to cows and short screamy bugle, and it's on.
Yeah, see, I didn't realize that I got lucky one or two times doing that. and I wasn't the shooter. I was calling for a friend and once for a cousin, and I just made a bugle, no bugle tube, the diaphragm in my mouth, you know, just that short, screamy little wet, just to kind of
Right.
And just by accident, you know, I did it right. You know, I made it sound like I was talking to the cows or something, but, and, yeah. And it worked for me. And it, of course it didn't click in my head until the first time you and I talked about it a couple of years ago. And, yeah.
Yeah. Lots of people have done it, but they have mistaken it for a spike bugle or trying to sound small or whatever. So they think that small bulls maybe don't chuckle. Which they do, but not near as much as big bulls do. But those, you know, and that's kind of an accidental bull calling cows bugle. But, you know, people got to realize what they're doing, what they're saying. And, you know, I just put out another newsletter called The Mimic. And the title of it is What Are You Saying? And I talk about the mimic because a lot of people try to mimic bulls. But if you think about how that went when you're a kid, you know, the mimic game, you say something and somebody says exactly the same thing back to you. And it's kind of funny, ha ha, for about 1 minute. Right. And then it becomes extremely annoying. And how does that game usually end? It doesn't usually end in a fight. It usually ends with the original speaker leaving the area. So it's same thing with elk. I mean, if you do a, if he does a challenge bugle to you because you did a bull calling cows bugle and then you switch to mimic him, you've just completely destroyed your odds of calling that bull in. So mimicking is not the way to do business. It's not how it's, it just causes annoyance. It doesn't cause the bull to come to you. So just know what you're saying, I guess.
No, it's funny. Cause I went back and, it's funny that you mentioned the spike thing. So like for a while I was telling people to, you want to sound like a beatable bull. That was my thing. You want to sound like a beatable bull, sound like a smaller bull or a lesser bull, something that's not going to scare off a big, you know, a big bull. Big bull's just going to come in and, you know, shoot you away. But, but it, what it was is I was doing the bull calling cows bugle. Matter of fact, I got a video on YouTube of me saying it, like I'm saying the whole thing of, you know, just. No chuckle, just go with this. Like, it's crazy. As a matter of fact, I think I could share the screen and show it to you. Let's see how this works here. All right. So, but it was just, it's pretty funny. I noticed it the other day. Matter of fact, I actually did a podcast with Corey. And, And I went back to look at this because I remember me putting a, you know, putting together a cow, a bull bugling tip like 5-6 years ago. And it's exactly what I was doing was, and of course I can't find a damn thing. You know, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I just, just one of those things. I learned that it worked for me and then I just never, you know, put two and two together. I didn't make the connection until you brought it to light for me.
It's like a pattern of success, man.
Oh, I mean, here it is right here.
You just got to remember what's going on.
Here, hold on. We'll play this real quick. Oh, we don't need a stupid ads. Freaking Home Depot's getting a plug right now.
There you go.
Oh, it won't let me skip it either.
Man.
All right, there you
go. It's a big dollar one there.
Yeah, so when did I post this? 2011.
Oh, there you go. The year of its birth.
Right?
Nice bugle tube there, buddy.
Yeah, you like my pool hose?
I like that. Are you fast forwarding through it?
No.
I can't hear it on this end.
Oh, you can't?
Mm-mm.
Interesting. Yep, that's, I just said more. Yeah, let me see if I could go to my. Can you hear it now?
Oh, I can hear you bugle, yeah.
Yeah. That's my bull calling cows bugle right there.
That's it, man. That's all you need.
Yep. It's
It
crazy that.
doesn't have to be that good a quality. It just has to follow a
Yeah, I'm
specific
terrible.
structure. It just has to follow a specific structure, you know? And that's like I tell people all the time, it's not, you could go into any bar in any country and speak to the ladies, even if you don't speak that language.
Right,
And that
exactly.
male is going to pick up on your vibe, and that's what you're trying to get at.
Yeah, that's so funny. Like when I went back and I looked at that video, I'm like, from whatever 7 years ago,
Right.
and it's like, I'm like, yeah, I knew I was doing that. I just didn't know that I was doing
Yeah, we totally figured it
that
out, yeah.
until, that's crazy. But
Nice.
anyway, so I'd like to hear another story from you, something that like maybe your most outrageous hunt, your most memorable.
I got an outrageous hunt, man. It wasn't me hunting, it was my buddy hunting, but we were moose hunting
Okay.
in Washington, and brings back memories, 'cause I've got this year I drew the best moose unit in supposedly in the United States for Charis moose, but definitely in
You did this
Washington.
year?
I did, yeah.
Oh,
So
congrats, man.
it's October 1 is going to be on, but
Beautiful.
a buddy of mine drew a unit that was close to this in 2015, I think it was. And he asked if I'd come over and call for him. I'm like, heck yeah, man. If anybody gets a Washington moose tag, man, I'm all in to go call for him. And
Right.
so he had gone there, and he was there for a couple days before I got there. And I get there, and we go out, and he's kind of showing me the areas that he's been in. And I talked to my game warden buddy over there, and he gave us this walk-in area to maybe try. So we pull up on this walk-in area, and there's people that are coming out of there. Some handicap hunters were coming out of there with their side-by-side, which you're not supposed to drive in, but they could drive in. So, and they've got a cow moose down. So we talked with them for a bit, and they went on their merry way, and we walked out, and I walked to the first clear cut that, I mean, it wasn't, only walked a half a mile or so, and get to the first clear cut, and there's kind of a big ravine in it, and I gave my best rendition of a cow moose call, and sure enough, a bull answered on the other side. So
Nice.
I checked the wind. I had Steve go down in the clear cut. I said he's going to try to, swing downwind of us. So Steve's about 100 yards from me, and here comes this bull, and he's grunting every step of the way. And Steve's shooting a longbow, so he
Oh.
wasn't being too picky, even though it's a once in a lifetime tag. He just wanted some moose meat. So
Right.
here comes this bull, and it's coming up the hill, and I'm watching, and I'm like, oh, that's okay. He's coming. He's going right to Steve. I mean, we had it planned perfectly. And he's walking right to Steve, and I'm watching the bull in the binos, and pretty soon I see that Steve is in the same picture as the moose in my
Oh,
binos,
shit.
right? And he's at 100 yards, so that bull's getting close. And
Right.
it's getting closer and closer, and Steve is luckily standing next to a stump that's about 3 feet tall. But it wasn't, I mean, the stump was maybe 8 inches in diameter. So
Okay.
he's standing next to that, and the moose is getting closer and closer. I'm like, oh my God, it's gonna walk over Steve, right? So it gets to the point where it's almost touching his broadhead,
Oh my
right? The moose is
God.
walking at him, and I'm looking, I'm like, oh my God, it's gonna walk over Steve. And so it walks around the stump, which it thinks Steve is part of the stump, evidently.
Right.
And so Steve has to, the bull is broadside to him now. So he le the bull is between me and Steve. I see Steve draw his bow back and lean back and shoot this bull at what ended up, he shot it at 64 inches. Okay. So we measured it because it was one bow length. Which he shoots a 64-inch longbow. So it was one bow length. So he shoots this thing, and I see his fletches flop up over the top of its back.
Okay.
And then the bull runs off, and I do another cow call to kind of stop him. And And then here comes the bull toward me.
Oh,
and it
Jesus.
Ran in the brush, and it comes out of the brush, and now it's looking at me 8 yards, and I'm in the trail. I'm in the only trail up through this piece of timber that I'm in. So it keeps coming at me, so I jump off the trail. That spooks it. It jumps off, and it runs out into an old road. And I'm looking now at the side that Steve had shot, and there's a little tiny red spot, and
oh,
that's
geez.
It. And it just continues to walk around the corner of this road. And so we followed around the corner, and it's still standing there, and it walks around the next corner. So then we give it some time, right? So we go back to where the shot was and where the bull ran to, and we find the arrow, and that broadhead had only penetrated about half the broadhead.
Oh, yeah.
Because it hit a rib when the arrow was still in paradox.
I was going to say, the arrow didn't have time to straighten out yet.
No.
That's so 64 inches, yeah.
So it hits a rib, and that's what I saw flop up over its back, right?
Yeah.
And so, anyways, that bull goes, and we don't find hardly any blood. We understand it's a non-lethal hit, and so off that bull goes. And so the next day, we go back into the same area. It's 2 in the afternoon, and I walk. We're maybe 100 yards from the truck. I give a cow call, right? Nothing. Nothing happened. It's 2 p.m., so it's like no big deal. Oh. Nothing's happening. It's pretty warm.
Right.
So we walk up the road about another 300 yards, and Steve's like, man, I got to take a dump. I'm like, all right, well, get after it, right? And I told myself, I look down, I'm thinking nap time, right? I'm not thinking that we're going to call anything in. So I look down the hill, and like 100 yards away is a big cedar tree, nice shady spot on that. I said, I'll meet you down there when you're done, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I go down there, and I walk, and I get to that cedar tree, and I'm standing there and, you know, kind of getting myself a bed made underneath this tree, and I got, oh, what was that? Right. And I thought, oh, that's a bull. Right. So I hear this bull moose grunting, and I hadn't called for about, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. And here comes this bull moose, and he's around this mountain. Well, I didn't see where Steve went to go do his business. Right. So I'm like, I need to find Steve, but I'm like, I'm not going to go searching through the brush to find where he's out there doing his
squatting.
Business. So I walk back up to where I'd left Steve, and I'm like, God, where is he at? And this bull's getting closer and closer and closer. I'm like, man, I got to find him. But I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea where he went. So I'm just waiting there, and this bull's getting closer and closer. And when you're, I don't know how much moose hunting you've done, but when you're really close to those bulls, that grunt sounds completely different than when you're at distance. I mean, when they're close, you can hear every pop and gurgle and everything in that, right? Well, this moose is close now, right? And I'm thinking, God, Steve is going to miss out on this opportunity, right? And then, so all of a sudden, this bull moose comes jumping through the brush out into the road, and he's like 40 yards in front of me.
Oh, Jesus.
And he runs around the corner and goes around the corner in the road. And then all is quiet, right? I'm thinking, God, what an opportunity Steve just missed out. And I'm pissed, man. I'm like, God, what the hell is happening here, right? And and nothing. I don't see Steve. I don't hear Steve. And minutes are going by. I'm like, what is going on? Where in the heck could he have gone, right?
Jesus, what the hell did he eat?
Right, yeah, right. So then here comes Steve out of the brush, and he comes out of the brush right in the path of that bull. And he looks at me, and he goes, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, no way. This is one of those stories. He goes, I smoked that bull. And I had my pants around my ankles.
That's awesome.
So he's telling me this story, and I'll try not to get too graphic. But so he's on an old cat road, and, you know, he's doing his business. And he says, man, I had to go so bad, and I had the runs.
Oh,
and he goes, I could hear that bull coming, but I couldn't stop. Then all of a sudden he sees the bull come onto the same little road that he's squatting on, right? So
hilarious.
He drops down on his knees and he said, I had to look back to make sure that I didn't have my feet in my business, right?
Oh man.
So he has to crawl with his pants down about 5 feet to get his bow. So he gets his bow and this moose is doing the whole moose walk right down the trail to him.
Oh Jesus.
So he picks up his bow and he's still got his pants around his ankles. He picks up his bow. The bull turns broadside and steps into the brush at 8 yards.
Oh, unreal.
And Steve stands up with his pants around his ankles and shoots this bull right behind the shoulder. But he got this time he got full penetration.
Mm-hmm.
And only the nock was sticking out.
Oh, okay.
And so when that bull jumps out on the road, I don't see any arrow hanging out of the stick,
right?
Right. And it runs around the corner. And then Steve has to finish up doing his business. So
before he comes and gets you.
Yeah. So we sit there and have a sandwich for a little bit and walk around the corner. And that bull was 20 yards around the corner, dead right in the middle of the road.
Awesome.
Oh, man. That's a great story. One of those stories. You're like, you can't make this stuff up. So it's the epic moose story with his pants around his ankles. It was awesome.
Yeah, geez, so, man, that sounds awesome. I've been moose hunting twice. Both times got skunked. Never saw a legal bull. Very first day hunting in Canada, I had one that had like, you know, palms the size of my hands.
Yeah,
and that was about it. One or two cows here and there, but that was it. I didn't go like during the peak of the rut. It was wasn't a very good hunt, unfortunately.
Right.
I spent 10 days staring at trees. So.
Yeah, well, I've got the first 13 days of October off, so I'm hoping that it's going to be
fantastic.
It's going to be good, man. There's lots of big bulls in this place, so it's and I've got some units, some walk-in units I'm going to be hitting, so it'll be good.
Sweet. That's exciting. Yeah. That's exciting. I hope to draw back east in the near future. I got several points for Maine and for New Hampshire.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully maybe I'll draw over there.
Yeah.
Good. If not, I think I'm gonna try to put something together in Canada again, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like you have to draw that tag, you just find somebody who's got a tag to sell.
Right.
So yeah, no, it'd be fun.
Yeah. Well,
cool, man. That was a great story. That was actually probably one of the best stories I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's pretty epic in our little hunting community. So
yeah, for sure. Well, good deal. Well, thank you for coming on, man, and sharing some of those stories with us. And I wish you the best of luck this season. I leave here.
Yeah, same to you.
Thank you. I leave for Utah. I have a Manti bull tag here. In about 10 days. So
you're going to be just getting there when the bulls are just coming out of velvet. So,
yeah.
You know, but cow calling is going to be one of your main plays there. But as soon as you find a bull that's actually with cows, hit him with the bull calling cows bugle.
Yeah, I figured this hunt, and the reason why I did this the way I did it was because I drew two tags. I drew one in Wyoming, and then I drew this one in Utah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, good.
So the Wyoming I put during the peak of the, you know, like around the 12th, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Good part of the hunt.
Yeah.
The rut, rather. And the reason why is because you can't really glass where I'm hunting in Wyoming.
Yeah.
But this unit that I'm hunting in Utah is pretty glassable.
Matter of fact,
I was hunting deer there last year. The reason why I put in for bull there this year, one, because I thought I had an opportunity to draw with the points that I had.
Right.
And two, because I was able to glass and I could see them.
Sure.
So I was like, all right, cool. You know, this will be a good unit. And I put in for it, and sure enough, I drew both. And so I'm like, let me do the Utah hunt early.
Right.
And I'll be able to glass and hunt them like deer, you know.
Yeah. You got your bow all ready to roll?
No, I don't actually.
You better get on it, pal.
I broke something on my sight. I ended up getting it. So I went and got a new sight.
Uh-huh.
And I got it on. So far, I got the 20, 30, and 40-yard pins set. I got to do all the rest of them.
Right on.
Yeah. So, and then my other bow, I just, right before that happened, I gave it to the bow shop to put a new string on it. So that one's not really dialed in yet either, because I just got a brand new string on it. So it's like my backup and my Yeah. And my main bow are both down at the moment, so I gotta get my ass in gear. I got 10 days to get dialed
in. Whatever bow you're shooting or whatever you're doing, shoot a perfect arrow or don't shoot it, pal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And on top, make things worse, I had hernia surgery, and I've been like
two weeks
I haven't done. Today was my first day back in the gym.
Oh.
So, yeah, hopefully I'll be able to get back in shape, because we're going to be hunting around right around 10,000 feet. So.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully I don't kill myself.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, good deal, man. I wish you the best of luck this season. Let me know what happens with that bull tag. Well, actually, matter of fact, when you're done with that moose hunt, I want to have you back on. I think that would be cool. I'd like to hear about that.
It's going
to
be epic, man.
Sweet. Well, congrats.
All right. Thanks, pal.
All right, buddy. Let's talk to you soon.
Take care.